And she says this. Mothers want the best for their children. Amen? They don't even, a lot of times mothers don't even understand what that actually means, the best for their children. They may think the best for their children is this, but God's ways are not our ways. The best for your child is not always what we think. So in Matthew chapter 20, verse 20, there's a mother. And then came to him a mother of Zebedee's children with her sons worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? She saith unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one at thy right hand and the one at thy left hand in thy kingdom. So this mother comes to Jesus, and Jesus says, What are you asking for? And she says, I want my kids to be great. I want them to be at your right hand, at your left hand, in this kingdom you speak of. I want that. The mother passion, the best. She knew that Jesus was not just any man, but he was someone who just was, there was kingdom presence around him. But Jesus answered and he said, you know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, we are able. And Jesus first wants to make sure the mother knew what she was asking, but because Jesus knew something that was a mystery, but we see it in Scripture, and it is this: in order to be great in his kingdom, you have to die. And that is, as the old saying goes, where the rubber meets the road, right? We all want to be right with God. We all want to be the best that we can be with the Lord. But at the end of the day, it requires something. It requires you saying no to your will and yes to God's will. And Jesus was trying to, are you sure you know what you're asking? Because what you're asking is the baptism that I'm going to be baptized with, and the path that I'm going to take is going to be the cross and the crucifixion. And Jesus knew that. And the children and the mother all said, we'll do it. And I guess he must have seen their passion in their heart, because Jesus said, maybe you will drink of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with, but to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them by whom it is prepared of my Father. So Jesus knew that what they were asking was something way in the future, and it's something that the Heavenly Father will do. But notice how he didn't say, no, you're not going to live the same life I'm living. No, he said, maybe you will surrender your will to my will, but it's not mine to give you the left and the right place at the kingdom. In verse 24, and when they heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called them unto him, and he said this. So the disciples were a little jealous of Jesus. They were jealous of this family, because see, the disciples, they left a lot. They left their families. They went, Jesus, we're going. We're going to follow you, and we're going to, no matter what. And for Jesus to say to these people that haven't even done much yet in the kingdom, and for Jesus to say to them, hey, well, maybe you will stand at my right hand, my left hand, but that's not mine to give. It's God the Father. So the disciples were, when they heard it in verse 24, they moved with indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called them unto him and said, so Jesus has to calm them down. Calm down, disciples. Here's the truth. He says, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever shall be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came to be ministered unto, but to didn't come to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give life as a ransom for many. So there's a very good lesson in this. The disciples were, this isn't fair, and Jesus is saying, look, it's not mine to give, but here's the truth. If you want to be great in my kingdom, you need to serve. You need to serve. Just like I've come to die on the cross to serve mankind. Wow. That sets the bar kind of high, doesn't it? And here's the truth for the church. That's what we're aiming for. We're aiming for God to perfect us. When we say that, God perfect me. God, what we're saying is that. Lord, take me to that place where I die to self and I begin to live for you. Completely for you. Take me to that place. See, so sometimes when we pray, Lord, your will be done, we gotta, do you know, like he told the mother, do you know what you're asking in that prayer? When you tell God, God, I'm willing to surrender all, do you know what you're asking in that prayer? You're saying, Lord, take me to that place where I die to self and my will, and I'm completely surrendered to the kingdom and your will. So next time you pray that, maybe you'll, whoa. Exactly what Jesus told the mother. Yes, you want your children to be great, but do you know what you're asking? So this morning, every mother wants the best for their child. Wants the best for their child. And I believe that in this scripture we learn that Jesus makes it very clear how to be great in his kingdom. It's about others. It's about helping, caring. It's about you being an instrument that he uses for his glory to be revealed. And that's the challenge. So once you start hearing it that way, it's like, well, you know when that scripture says, consider the cost. You know, we have a lot of people that are just walking, going through the motions of life and the world. They're tangled up in the world and sin, and but yet they want to go to heaven. And you know, God is rising up an army that is not tangled up with the world. God is raising up an army that is now on a solid foundation in Jesus Christ. And I pray, and I know that every mother in here wants the best for their child. They want their child to be strong in the Lord. And in that process is going to be them dying to self and their will and accepting God and his will. So mothers, when we ask for our children to be great in his kingdom, do we know what we're asking? We know what we're asking. Yes, tears. Yes, being molded and shaped. But I know that your heart is for them to be strong in the Lord. The best advice any mother can give to their children is find Jesus. Amen? Because in Jesus, you will find rest, you will find direction, you will find hope, you will find blessings, and so, so much more. So here we read the story of a mother that wants the best for her children, and Jesus made it very clear. If you want to be the best in the kingdom of God you want to be, then it takes a servant heart. That's the truth. And we need to ask ourselves, where are we? Do we have a servant heart? When Jesus is part of the equation, anything is possible. I said that because some of you mothers may have children that aren't living how they should live, or you see them and they're messing their lives up because of the decisions that they make. Don't lose hope on your loved ones, because when Jesus is in the part of the equation, anything is possible. Anything is possible. In Luke chapter 7, verse 11. Anything is possible. Luke chapter 7, verse 11. Here we have another woman, a mother, And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and many people. Now when they had come nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. So, you know, whenever we're going through trials and tribulations, we know that there are others that are going through even harder things. This mother not only lost her son, she was a widow. And this journey she was in was a hard journey. And when the Lord saw her, and Jesus saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Weep not." And he came and he touched the bear, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all that saw that, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, that God hath visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and through all the region around the world. When Jesus is in the equation, it's never over till God says it's over. Here we have the most extreme example of a dead son being raised from the dead because Jesus had compassion on her. God's character, and we see it over and over in Scripture, from the resurrection of Jesus Christ to one story, the Valley of Dry Bones in the Old Testament, where they're dead bones and they come to life. And over in Scripture, we see over and over that our God is a God that turns what's dead to life. Amen. And if you have a child or a situation or a loved one where you don't see any hope, it's not over. If Jesus is in the equation, if Jesus is in your prayer, if you are crying out to your God, He loves you. And He has compassion like He did with this widow. It's never over till God says it's over. Amen. And if your prayer as a praying mother is that your child or your loved one find God to be in heaven, I believe with all my heart, He hears those cries. He hears those prayers. And we don't have the timing down. But our prayer, and I'm sure every mother's prayer, is that their child, at the end of the day, their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because this world's not our home. It's temporary. But eternal life, that's what we want for our loved ones, is to find Jesus, because we want to see them in eternity. And so we don't understand the timing sometimes. We want to see it now. I'm sure this lady wanted to see before the funeral. But Jesus came, and Jesus, as long as he's in the situation, it's not over. So he will answer our prayers. We don't know the timing. Sometimes he does it, you know, when early in their life, and sometimes it's the last breath. We don't get to make those calls, but we get to trust him no matter what. Amen? No matter what, praying mothers, trust God in all things. Because yes, we wish they would make the right decisions here in this life so that they don't have such a tough life living in the wilderness. But at the end of the day, we believe God has compassion on His people, and He will bring what seems dead alive. And I get excited because I see it over and over in Scripture that God is in the business. In the Valley of Dry Bones, you know the story in Ezekiel. Those bones were dead, they were dry. But all of a sudden they started rising up, and flesh and ligaments came together. And then all of a sudden God breathed life into those bones. And it was alive. And notice that the purpose of this miracle that we see with Jesus and this widow, and the purpose was not that man will be glorified, but that God would be glorified. When you are praying for a miracle, pray in terms on how this signs and wonder and this miracle will give God glory. Amen? That's one you write down, I think. Did you all bring your pen and paper? When you're praying for a miracle, pray in terms of bringing glory to God in this miracle. Amen? Because when we pray for ourselves, for the sake of ourselves, like, Lord, help me win that lottery. And you may say, I will give glory to you, Lord, when I have $1 million. God can definitely see way beyond those words. God looks down at the heart. Amen? He looks down at the heart. When you need a sign and a wonder, when you need a miracle, ask yourself, when this miracle happens, because God is faithful, and I guarantee you this, if this miracle is part of the kingdom plan and it's going to give glory to God, God's working on it. Amen? If this miracle is just to make you feel better here on this world, that's not what God's about, to lift us up or make us... this world is not our home. All the signs and wonders and miracles are for purpose. It brings life out of death. And you may be wondering, why does this person get their miracle? And the doctor said that that's what, and then all of a sudden, and then they're healed, or the doctor's amazed and give glory to God. But in this situation, I don't have the answers for you. I just know this, that every time God did a signs and wonders in the Bible, it was to bring glory to His kingdom. And to bring life to His kingdom. So if you write anything down today, say, when I pray as a praying mother for my miracle, I'm going to believe that this miracle is about kingdom increasing, the kingdom of God. You know, I can tell you, I have a son who I'm praying for. And Alyssa preached a sermon one day, and it can I use the word? It floored me, right? She preached, and it just sunk down into my heart, and it got a hold of me. Because, you know, what I'm telling you, I'm not just telling you from afar. We go through all this together. Every one of us, we have struggles, we have battles. And I don't understand why He answers some prayers faster than others. I'm not even here to pretend to understand, because God's ways are not our ways. But what I do understand is that He has compassion when we pray. And I do understand that when the miracles come, it's to increase His kingdom. And that's what I believe. And I read a scripture and I see it. God will do signs and wonders for His people to increase His kingdom. It is God's will. So don't lose hope, praying mothers. Don't lose hope. It is God's will that all come to repentance. It is God's will to show compassion and for miracles to come forth. And when Jesus shows up, even death bows to its knee. Amen? He just does, because it's happened over and over again. God's a good God. Mothers are special. I remember when I was small, and if I saw my mom eating a candy bar or something, and I said, can I have it? She would give it all to me. And then whenever I had something and somebody wanted it, I wouldn't give it all to them. Why is that? Because there's no selfishness in a mother's love. There's no self. It's genuine. It's God putting something in us. I want to end with this thought. So I hope you wrote something down today. I believe that God's given you some tools to go pray and believe God for miracles. Believe. But in terms of God's kingdom, in terms of God, not in terms of our own desires. And you'll see that His ways are better than our ways. They just are. Finally, the role of women. I read for you a stat a few weeks ago that the largest age group of suicides are women from the age of 45 to 55, something like that. Because there's no hope. And the role of women has become increasingly complicated in our society. For example, when Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden, the rules were real simple. Adam, for listening to your wife after she ate the apple, you are now going to work this land, and you're going to make sure your family's taken care of. And you're going to work, sweat your brow. You're going to have to work. Eve, you're going to go through the pain of bearing children and, you know, take care of the family. How many know that in today's society, it's just a little more complicated than that? And I don't believe in getting into, oh, everybody should live their life this way or that way. I believe in pointing everybody to Jesus, and the Holy Spirit directs you how you should go. Amen? Because you can get into religiosity and say, well, every woman should be raised at home, and should be raised in the home. And you know what? If that's what the Holy Spirit is leading to, that's what you need to do. And if the Holy Spirit, if you are praying and reading your Bible and you need to work, I am not judging that. But I know society has complicated the role of women, the society that we're in. Women today work as equals with men, but yet women still bear children. That never stopped, right? Some of you are like, wish we could have switched roles. But what God set in place in Genesis never stopped, right? Man's still the head of the home according to Scripture in the New Testament. But in today's society, women are working as hard as men in the workforce, and they're bearing the children, and they have the heavy burden of raising the children and making things are ready, and the men and women are just different, as you figured it out. In this complicated world, mothers, the best advice I can give you today on this Mother's Day, no matter what, no matter how complicated it is, never be too busy to find time for Jesus. Amen. Just follow that rule. That 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever it is, you get on your knees, or figuratively speaking, you get quiet with the Lord. And you pray, you read your Bible. You don't ever be too busy to sit at Jesus' feet. I can't help you out with all that other complicated stuff because, first of all, I'm not a woman. So I wouldn't understand everything as you do. But society has definitely changed. But keep Jesus first. Because in Jesus, all is well. Amen? In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, last scripture, get some music for our closing today. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, I read this a few weeks ago, but I'm going to end with this scripture. Because the best advice you can get is right here. Because a lot of burdens, a lot of complication has come to the role of women. Matthew 11:28 says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." How many mothers need rest? "Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and I am lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Keep it simple in this complicated world. And this is actually the title of the sermon, but I waited till the very end to bring to to mention it. Keep it simple. Yes, keep it Jesus simple. Don't forget that time with Him. Don't forget to thank Him for the miracles. Don't forget to praise Him. Don't forget to give Him His time. Everything else will take care of itself. Trust and obey the Word of God. There is power in His name. You know, there's an old song we used to sing when I came to Sunday school many years ago. It's an old hymn, no, trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but trust and obey. Mothers want the best for their children. Mothers never lose hope for their loved ones. Mothers, keep it Jesus simple. Keep it Jesus simple. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we on this Mother's Day, we thank You that together as a congregation, we can be obedient to Your word that says, honor your mother. And in a few months, we'll honor fathers. But Lord, it's so important that we live by Your word and not make excuses, but to ask You to take over our lives. Every mother in this place this morning has a passion to see their kids do better, has a passion to live God even better than they live for God. But it begins with keeping it Jesus simple in this complicated world we live in. Those suicide rates are increasing because people are finding no hope. But Lord, we know this morning that we have hope in the name of Jesus. So Lord, we give You these. This Mother's Day, we give it to You. And as we leave this place, Lord, that You would help us to keep it Jesus simple. Because miracles are on the way. Signs and wonders are on the way. And they will increase Your kingdom. In Jesus' name. Amen.